Welcome to Torah Tzimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek Kaf, Chapter 20. This chapter continues with David's military exploits and how he managed to subdue all his enemies, including some gory details of his military tactics. The parallel passage is in Shmuel Bet Chapter 12, albeit in a very different context, both in terms of what comes before and after. Well, it seems from our chapter that David went from fighting and subduing the Ammonites and the Arameans to fighting and further subduing Ammonites and then the Philistines. Shmuel Bet includes the entire episode of Bathsheba and the planned killing of her husband Uriah the Hittite. One of the themes we have underscored in these summaries of the chapters of Divrei HaYamim is that this book serves to glorify David, and it therefore leaves out some of the less savory events from his life. While we will not go into detail here about the Bathsheba incident, we will compare some of the language between the two narratives. Our chapter does begin in an almost identical way to the Bathsheba story, when David first sees her outside his window while she is bathing. Our first verse tells us, "Vayhi le'et tshuvat hashana, le'et tzeit hamlachim, וינהג יואב את חיל הצבא, וישחית את ארץ בני עמון, ויבוא ויצר את רבה, ודוד יושב בירושלים, ויח יואב את רבה, ויהר סה." Now it came to pass at the time of the return of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that Yoav led the power of the army and destroyed the land of the children of Ammon, and he came and besieged Rabbah, and David was dwelling in Yerushalayim. And Yoav smote Rabbah and destroyed it. Notice the language of this verse and how it describes the time of year. It is a time when kings go out to battle. And yet, who is going to battle here? The king's general, Yoav. The king stayed in Yerushalayim. The parallel verse in Shmuel has an often overlooked discrepancy between what is written, the Ketiv, and how we read it, the Kra. The vowelization tells us to pronounce the word for kings, melachim, mem, lamed, chaf. Yet the actual written word includes the letter aleph between the lamed and the chaf, although there are no vowels under that letter. Without the Masoretic tradition of how all the words are vocalized, we might understand this word as malachim, messengers. It is almost as if the Navi in Sefer Shmuel wants to absolve David from any guilt at remaining home, as it could be understood as the time of year when the messengers went out to war instead of the kings. Our chapter, however, completely contradicts the possibility of that notion, even while skipping the entire Bathsheba episode. The Malbim, in his commentary on Sefer Shmuel, reads into the many details describing the time of year to show that David had no excuse not to accompany his men to war. This is what caused him to fall into the sin with Bathsheba. The Torat HaMincha by Rabbi Yaakov Sikli explains that David seemed to want to rest at this time. He describes Hashem's reaction to this request as, "For this I took you out of this sheepcote to rule my nation Israel? For this I will incite the bear against you." This is the same language Rashi uses, quoting the rabbis, when Yosef encountered the wife of Potiphar and was tested in his ability to refuse her. So too was David tested with Bathsheba. The details of the actual battle with the land of Rabbah is also very different from Shmuel Bet. In Shmuel Bet chapter 12, we read in verses 26 through 29, "And Yoav fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and captured the royal city. And Yoav sent messengers to David and said, 'I have fought against Rabbah. I have also captured the city of waters. And now gather the rest of the people and encamp against the city and capture it, lest I capture the city and my name be called upon it.' And David gathered all the people and he went to Rabbah and fought against it and captured it." While Shmuel Bet is concerned lest Yoav capture the city, our chapter does not seem concerned with the fact that Yoav received full credit for smiting and destroying Rabbah. Malbim comments that even though David listened to Yoav and came to Rabbah, in the end it was conquered mainly by Yoav and gives him full credit, as seen in this verse. At the end of this battle, verse 2 tells us, Vayikach David et ateret malkam me'al rosho, v'yimtza'a mishkal kikar zahav uva even yikara, v'tehi al rosh David ushlal ha'ir hotzi harbe me'od. And David took the crown of Malcham off his head, and he found it to weigh a talent of silver, and in it was a precious stone, and it was set on David's head. And the spoils of the city he took out in large quantity. This creates an issue similar to what we explored in chapter 14, when David either burned or took the pagan deities of the Philistines. How could David have worn the crown of idolatry? The same Gemara we quoted there, in Avodah Zarah 44a, to solve that issue of the idols, also resolves this issue. He only took the crown after Ittai the Gittit, a non-Jew, had arrived to revoke its status as an object of idol worship. Other commentaries question how he could have physically worn this seemingly large and heavy crown. Rashi explains, and it was set on David's head. Some explain that it was literally on David's head. It is, however, amazing how his head could endure it. Our sages, however, explain that there was a magnet in it. I heard in Narbonne that it is the prevalent custom in the land of Yishmael to suspend the king's crown over his head, and he sits opposite, below, on a throne, and that which is written, and it was on David's head, means that it appeared as though it were on his head. Verse 3 describes how they utterly destroyed all the rest of the Ammonite cities before returning to Jerusalem. Ve'et ha'am asher ba hotzi vayasar bamgera uvecharitzei habarzel uvamgerot b'chein ya'aseh David l'chol arei b'nei Amon vayashav David v'kol ha'am Yerushalayim. And the people who were in it he brought forth and sawed with a saw, and with harrows of iron, and with saws, and so did David do to all the cities of the children of Ammon. And David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. A very strange Hebrew word is used to describe the act of sawing, vayasar, spelled vav yod sin resh. The Otzar HaMidrashim explains that there are only three places where this word is spelled with a sin instead of a samech. And in all those places, the Midrash explains, they experience joy in their actions as the time of song, which is shira. Without the dot differentiating between a sin and a shin, our word resembles the word for song, shin yod resh. Next, we read about the battles with the Philistines. The parallel for this section is Shmuel Bet chapter 21. Rashi comments on verse 4 on one of the major discrepancies in the description of the war between that chapter and here. Now it came to pass after this that a war arose in Gezer. That which is missing here is written in Shmuel Bet chapter 21, verse 15. And the Philistines waged war again with Israel, and David went down with his servants, and they fought against the Philistines. And this too was not written here because of David's honor. For it is written there, and David became faint. And it is written in verse 16, and Ishbi, who was one of the sons of Rapha, was a Nob, etc. And he was girded with new armor, and he thought to smite David. And had it not been for the aid of Avishai, the son of Tzruiah, he would have fallen into the hands of Ishbi and Nob. And because of that disgrace, the chronicler did not mention these things here. In verse 5, we read about the killing of a brother of Goliath, in a different war with the Philistines. Vati od mechama et plishtim, vayach Elchanan ben Yair, et lachmi achi Goliat, hagiti ve'etz chanito kimnor orgim. And there was another war with the Philistines, and Elchanan, the son of Yair, smote lachmi, the brother of Goliat, the Gittit, and the staff of his spear was as thick as a weaver's beam. This is especially interesting in light of the parallel verse in Shmuel Bet chapter 29, which says in verse 19, and Elchanan, the son of Ya'ari Oregim, the Beit Lechemite, slew Goliath the Gittit, and the staff of his spear was as thick as the weaver's beam. While our verse says that a man named Elchanan, the son of Ya'ir, killed Goliath's brother, Here it seems to be saying that this man actually killed Goliath. And yet we read in Shmuel Aleph chapter 17 that David killed Goliath. Rashi in Shmuel Bet explains that Elchanan is David, the son of Yari or Agim. He explains that it means weavers, for his family wove curtains for the Holy Temple, which was called Ya'ar. And he has proof for that in Kings 1, chapter 10, 17, and chapter 10, 21. The Midrash in Ruth Rabbah explains that he is called Elchanan because Hashem Chananu, Hashem had mercy on him, and he is called Ben Ya'ari because he grew up in a Ya'ar, a forest. Hence, it is not a contradiction, and the different name serves to provide more details about David. Our chapter concludes with listing more wars and Philistine giants that were felled by David and his servants. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.